What's up, it's your boys from Brothering Around, and this show is brought to you by Audible.com, your good friends at Amazon with the audiobooks, over 180,000 audiobooks to choose from. And you know what? Because you're a listener of Brothering Around, our good friends at Audible did us a favor. You can sign up for a free 30-day trial going to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround, and you can choose any free book you want. 180,000 to choose from. Pick your poison. You get to keep it forever. And hey, have a 30-day free trial. Thanks to our friends at Audible. That's audibletrial.com/brotheringaround. Get your free book on the house from your boys. Your boys here at Brothering Around. Oh, yeah, baby. Episode 17. It's starting. We're here. We're ready to rock. We're rejuvenated after a crazy weekend of professional wrestling.
Are we?
Okay. So I am on cloud nine while Marco is literally in the clouds right now because he is a sleepy bear cub.
Oh, dude. It's my first day back in Muay Thai, and I have a dead grip. I don't have grip right now.
Oh, my gosh. So would you go over? Okay, so you're taking Muay Thai, but you're also taking boxing, and you do like nine things, and it blows me away.
I'm doing real life Punch Club, basically. And, yeah.
you are training to be a Dragon Ball Z character in real life.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, it's my first day back in Muay Thai, and I just got my ass kicked. And I promise I will shout them out. Estellar's MMA. It's a good place to get your ass kicked and learn some cool martial arts and, you know, just train up. So I would definitely recommend going over there. A little chilling. But I promise. He said, hey, shout me out. I was like, oh, yeah, man. I'll tell you that. You kicked my ass.
Oh, yeah, so, man. You got to shout them out if they're putting your ass
definitely.
On the mat.
So Estellar's MMA up in San Lorenzo.
Yeah.
Definitely check them out.
Good brothers.
Yeah, man.
Good brothers. And it was funny. So I know you're sleepy, but I was talking to the fiance after the wrestling pay-per-view, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But I was like, you know, that was so good and so much fun that I was looking in the ring and I was like, if I trained, I'm 31 now, but if I trained, I could probably do that. whenever you see it happen and you're looking and you're like, that's a lot of work. And I know there's a lot of injuries that happen on that. But like, you see the crowd getting into it and you're like, these guys have control over, 12,000 people. And like, they're telling a story in the ring. And you're like, I should do something physical like that. I should train. I should be able to do something like that. And like around here, we're in Central Texas like half of the Gracie family lives here. So there's jiu-jitsu stuff everywhere, and it's all Gracie jiu-jitsu. And I was even just getting in there and grappling and not even competing, like just knowing how to do an actual rolling arm bar or something like that for shits and giggles, not even for like competition or, well, I'm going to now be Chuck Norris and like defend Walker, Texas Ranger style. Like, no, none of that, because, I already did the Tong Sudo thing for 13 years and... But I haven't trained. I literally haven't trained in like a decade. You know what I mean? Like, I stopped when I was like 14. So it was one of those grown up things. You do martial arts, and then I just kind of got out of it. I've always had a love for it, and I have a ton of respect for it. Any type of martial art or any type of like boxing or physical training that you put your body through. It's a lot of fun, and it's like perseverance. It teaches dedication. I highly recommend it. But I was like, you know what? Maybe I should go in there. Maybe I should join up a jiu-jitsu or something. Like, get in, start rolling around.
That'd be
around
cool,
You know what I mean?
Cool to hear.
And then I thought about my big ass, like, big bald ass. Like, they put me in, my shoulder's already bad from weightlifting. So, like, some 10-year-old kid would roll me and put me in a thing and, like, break my arm. Like, then I started, like, coming back to reality. And I was like, I should do it. I should. But, like, I need to maybe... make sure what my health insurance covers,
There you go.
Before I show up to work in like a neck brace and like, what the?
What'd you do?
I was like, oh my God. Oh, some 12-year-old kicked me in the face. And I'm like, oh.
Little kid mounted me. And,
he got me in a triangle choke and I passed out in front of 30 people. So
yeah,
it was a good night. Good night.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's cool, man. Dude. Like, I'm so are you, like, I know you're tired. I know your body feels out of it. Like, but do you feel good that you went and did it?
Oh yeah, I do. It's those first day you're back on it, type of feeling. So like before going, I was like, oh, I really don't want to go.
Right.
but I knew I had to, cause like I wasn't doing anything and I was starting to feel lazy, you know, low energy and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm, yep.
So, and knowing how my week is, you know, on a day-to-day basis, like I know Monday is the only day I can go. Tuesday, I can try to fit it in before I, you know, do my other stuff that I usually do on Tuesdays. And then Wednesdays, we usually record. Thursdays is laundry day. And Friday, I can go, but that's usually like spending time with the wife too.
Sure.
So like,
sure.
You know, real life type of thing. So Monday is I make the effort to go either to Muay Thai or to boxing. But I'm going to try to fit in Tuesdays before I do whatever I do on Tuesdays. So yeah, I mean, just trying to make it work.
Sure.
And yeah. Yeah. Just want to gain knowledge and just, and yeah, man, just be healthy, you know?
Yeah, man. Doing, it's like something active and something
so, like,
yeah, something you want to do.
Yeah.
It feels good.
The first thing I go back to. So the first thing we do is like jump rope.
Yeah.
I know I'm a little out of shape, or like I feel like a pansy where I'm like jumping rope, man. And then we do it, and then like the rope hits your feet, and I'm like, ow, it stings. I'm like, dude, I'm basically like beating myself up. Like, just shut up, just keep going, just keep going.
Yeah,
like,
push
through. Oh, it still stings. But yeah.
These bootstraps won't buckle up themselves.
Right,
just
gotta
go in there and do
much,
it.
Pretty much, yeah. Then we did a Filthy 50, and that's what killed me.
Oh,
yeah, we had stations like 50 push-ups after warming up with like 10 minutes of rope, and then 10 minutes of burpees, and then we do 50 filthy. And I'm like, dang, I'm already dead.
See, that's the great thing.
We pushed through.
Yeah, man, that's the great thing about bodybuilding. It's like, yeah. I don't even know what cardio is. You know what I mean? It's like you go there. And then you lift real heavy weight for about 35 minutes. And then you just go home and eat whatever you want. And then you sleep it off. And then you got to do that for 5 years. And then you know, you gain 100 pounds. And then you look okay. But
so, yeah. So, like, the what the class looked like was basically me, and then like a younger woman. And then, like, the rest of them were like all like little kids, like boys. And so we were doing the Filthy 50, and then the teacher's like, okay, whoever goes last or whoever finishes last has to do 50 burpees. And I immediately think, I know who's gonna win those 50 burpees. and I'm talking to myself right now. So yeah, like I came in last, and the guy was like, yeah, don't worry about it. I was like,
at that point, you're like, oh, you mean Marco has to do 50 burpees.
Because I'm not going to be.
Just tell the class the truth. That would be
the
me.
Younger, yeah, right.
That would be me for sure. Yeah. They're like, oh, the person in last. So just like, instructor, just say
right
Wes. Just say Wes has to run 10 more laps. Like,
right.
We know it's fine. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. But I told the teacher, I was like, yeah, you know what? As soon as we're done here, I got to go do a podcast. I was like, okay. Shout me out. Like, all right, we'll
heck
do.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, man. This is okay. So this is like literally the fastest turnaround of us just coming from a podcast. Like we did one on Friday.
Yeah, we did.
And then now we're doing one.
We're back 3 days later.
We're back on Monday. Yeah.
Monday. That's it, like, man.
Not much has happened. I mean, I played some video games, but like, I mean, you went to NXT.
Yeah.
And dude, how was it, man?
Oh my God. So to preface it, I will say I've been to two house shows in my life, and then a Monday Night Raw, and that's been kind of my live professional wrestling experience. So one of the house shows was way back in the day, and it was WCW. I mean, this was back in the day enough to where, like, David Flair was wrestling.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, dude. And he had the crowbar. You remember that shit? Like, he would just...
Oh, when he was in his crazy days?
Yep. So it was there. It's whenever Jeff Jarrett was in full Smash People the Guitar mode. I got to see like Vampiro. Actually, there's a lot of people there. And the main event for that, and I have pictures of it, was and of course at the time I was kind of a fan of wrestling, but I didn't really know what was going on. But the main event of that house show was freaking Bret the Hitman Hart versus Ric Flair.
Oh wow!
Like Jesus, you know, for a house show in the middle of like Jacksonville, Florida, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You know, looking back, I'm like, oh, I remember that silly house show. And then I look at who was on the card and I'm like, oh my God, this had like the Outsiders. It had everybody. Yeah. It had freaking, it had Conan. It had Vampiro. I remember being upset because I was a kid at the time and Sting wasn't there because I was a big Sting man. Always will be. But I bought the mask and, you know, I was all yay. And then my uncle was awesome. He worked security at the place we were. So we started off and we were kind of near the back row sort of stuff. And he's like, listen, man, no, we can't see stuff. Let me talk to one of my guys. So then he goes over and I remember, you know, he left for like 5 minutes and there I am like an 8-year-old kid just sitting around. And then he comes back and he's like, no, come over here. And I thought we were going to get in trouble because we went on the floor, right? And we literally got 4 rows away from ringside. Because I guess people left and it was general admission anyway. So they didn't really give a shit. So yeah, we were there and I got like up close pictures with David Flair mid crowbar attacks to the face, like just ridiculous stuff. Right. So that house show, and then had a house show here in, kind of central Texas. The one where Taker came back, came back after like his knee surgery or something. The huge pop on that. And then went to the Monday Night Raw with, whenever they were hyping up Brock Lesnar versus Triple H at WrestleMania. And it was the episode where Brock Lesnar breaks Shawn Michaels' arm.
Right.
So it was like, episode 1003 of Raw or something, if you want to go watch it on the network. But yeah. And then so this past Saturday was NXT TakeOver San Antonio. And I'll just preface it by saying this is by far and away the best wrestling thing I've ever been to. Like the arena was smaller than the Raw thing. It was about the size of a venue that they would have a house show in. So it was a pretty intimate like location. You know, whenever we get there, we see the map of the arena and we're like, oh, we're near the top balcony area. You know, it should be good seats. It's not a huge arena, but it should be good. The seats were amazing. Like I posted up pictures on Twitter and we could see everything. No matter if they had out of the ring spots, which they did, or even stuff on the ramp, which they did, or table spots, which they did. So like all of the pay-per-view we were able to see no matter where they were. And, so like running card pretty much whenever we were finding our seats, we were going up, we were near the top where the lights fixtures and stuff were. So we're going up there. And as we get in, I hear like, you know, the 1, 2, 3 count and then the ding, ding, ding. And a little bit of the crowd that's already in there goes crazy. And it was like, your winner, Tyler Bate. I was like, what the fuck? So the dude that won the 19-year-old kid that won the UK, WWE UK championship. And I was like, oh, hey, Tyler Bate, that's half of Mustache Mountain right there. And, you know, so I was like, hey, I know that guy. And then, but it was basically, I think they filmed it for an NXT episode. And he was fighting One Lorcan, which is the kind of NXT WWE born and bred guy. So so that was a match, but we were literally finding our seats in our row whenever we heard the bell ring, and I look over and I was like, oh hey, we missed it. Oh well, and like clap for him anyway. But then the show started, and well, first it kept showing all the promo videos and hype packages and stuff, and then I think it was Tom Phillips, you know, good old Tom Phillips. From the backstage area interviews on Raw and all that, where, you know, Kevin Owens makes fun of him for his tie and New Day like riffs on him. So it's that guy. And he was like, San Antonio, we go live on the WWE network in 2 minutes. And then we're like, woo. So he's getting everyone prepped. Yeah. Ow. And then he starts up the video package. You know, they start up the video package and then they show the outside of the arena and the camera pans around. The crowd goes nuts, right? The first person to come out is Ty Dillinger. And brother, Ty Dillinger is over as fuck. Like, I don't know how well it came across on, because I still haven't watched it on the network yet. Like, I'm going to wait a few days and then go back and watch it and see how it looks on TV. But, like, the stands were rumbling. And it was one of those things that, you know, everyone did the 10 count with their fingers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then Eric Young came out, got a pretty good ovation. Like, there were a lot of, I could tell there were a lot like a smart marks in the audience. Because, you know, and a lot of guys like me leaning over to their girlfriends or their date that they brought, and they're like, okay, that guy was in TNA, and he was really, you know, so like all these guys were all the kind of the same person at this NXT event. And so he comes out, and, you know, Sanity walks out with him, except for Nikki Cross. She stayed in the back because she had a match later in the night. But they have a crazy song. They come out to it and stuff. But I can't remember his name in NXT, but Big Damo. From what federation was he from?
He just joined, right?
Yeah, he literally is like 3 weeks old on NXT.
Yeah,
so that's a big old fucking guy. Like, you see these people in person, and you're like, whoa, like,
yeah,
good lord. You know, they're all in great shape and everything, but like, Big Damo, because that was his name on whatever, I think it was ICW or Progress or something. Holy crap. Like, I was like, oh man, because he's not only tall, but he's like big. He's just big. And so he comes out. They have a really solid match. I said before, you know, I said last week that I think they would have match of the night. They didn't, but the match was still awesome. So Ty had such, he had the crowd behind him like crazy. Like, only the top tier guys have control over a crowd like that. So Ty knew exactly when to wait and when to, and of course Eric Young was in full on like Ric Flair sell mode. So he would do his front face, like if he gets punched, he pauses for a second and then just falls flat on his face. God, he took this one bump to the outside turnbuckle. He almost did a front flip over the top rope and like smashed his back into the turnbuckle and fell out, and you just hear the thud. Wow. And we're like, oh my God, like you see it on TV and it looks one way, but then you see a grown man with your own eyes, like do that bump. And you're like, oh God, that looks painful. And I think that was kind of the whole thing of the night, is it gave me a deeper appreciation for, sure, it probably looks one way on TV when you're watching it on the network, but in person, when you see someone get kicked in the head, you can see why the crowd's like, oh, like they make the ooh and ah noises. Because so the Ty Dillinger Eric Young match, Eric Young ends up winning, but it totally makes sense, because what we'll talk about later, Ty Dillinger shows up at the Royal Rumble. So that went well. Good solid match. The crowd was into it. You know, there was kind of a buzz on the air. Oh, Ty Dillinger. And then, you know, he left last and waved at everybody. And then we did the thank you, Ty, because we kind of all expected, like, okay, since he lost, he's probably getting called up. About time.
Yeah.
And, but the match that going into the show, I was like, and we even talked about it on Friday, I was like, yeah, it's probably going to be okay. But it was the best wrestling match I've seen in my entire life, was Roderick Strong versus Andrade Almas. Dude, they lit that shit on fire. It was a true, like, triple A CM Lucha Libre, All Japan, indie circuit, strong style match. Like, it was more stiff than the Shinsuke match was.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, man. And, like, they both came to play. Like, they warmed it up a little bit, but they were getting some shots in that, like, our section was cringing whenever they would do, like, the running sit kick, you know, Roderick Strong's finisher. It sounded like a shotgun blast. Oh. And, yeah, it was so loud and it echoed throughout everything. And I want to know what it sounded like on TV, because I've never heard anything like that. And they were doing solid shots, too. Like, Andrade wasn't putting up his hands. He was just taking this kick to the face. And you're like, oh my God. Okay. Like, you would just cringe, because you're like, these guys are killing each other. But yeah, it was by far the most tight, like, crisp wrestling match I've seen in person.
I'm looking forward to watching that now.
Oh man, it stole the show. That was the best match on the card. And I didn't expect much from it. I knew both guys were good. You had La Sombra and you had Roderick Strong. Like, if you talk about 2014 or 2015, that could be match of the year candidate. But then with 2016, they kind of mellowed out a little bit, and, you know, came to NXT and WWE and kind of softened their style. But this, they came out, man. They were not kidding around. Like, they got a standing ovation from the crowd afterwards because it was like, that was remarkable.
That's good, man. Was that the second match or the first?
Yeah, that was the second match. Nice. So the pre-show match, it was the Drifter, Elias Sampson. Yeah. Oh, we booed the shit out of that guy. That was hilarious. And then there was someone next to me and was like, your music's bad and you should feel bad. Like he was screaming it at him. But I was like, boo, you fucking suck. And I felt bad because, like, there was a 10-year-old kid sitting right in front of me. I was cussing like a sailor the whole night.
Yeah.
But the kid's got to learn. You know what I mean? Kids got to learn. Yeah,
you know?
You brought him to the show. Yeah, you brought him to the show. I don't know what to tell you. But
it's like that whole thing about Kevin Owens, I think, talking trash to that kid. And then the kid was crying. And then the mom went on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Like outraged. Like, well, Kevin Owens being a heel.
Makes kids cry, bro. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, that's how he gets over it. But it was the Drifter versus No Way Jose. And No Way Jose came out, I've never seen more 45-year-old overweight
dancing.
Oh yeah, terrible dancing. We did. And dreadful dancing all across the arena. And then, like, it would just happen. Like, you would just hear his music, and then you just start doing this dumbass shimmy, and, like, everyone's doing this terrible, like, duh, duh, Jose, no, like, Jose, like, just Jose. Ridiculous.
Just, oh, man, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, exactly. I can't even do it without, like, I'm doing it if I had the webcam on. It'd be embarrassing. right. But I would, I would owe people money that have to suffer through that. So that was a pre-show. And then, the Ty match opened it. And then the Roderick Strong just killed it. That whole match was so good. And then I want to say the next match was the tag team championship match.
Okay.
So it was DIY versus the Authors of Pain. And Authors of Pain are big old boys too, man. Those guys walked out, and I was like,
they're big on the internet. It's like, I have to figure they're super big live.
Yeah, and it really is because you expect big guys. You're like, Authors of Pain, sure, I bet they're pretty, pretty big boys. And then they walk out next to Paul Ellering, and you're like, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Paul Ellering's a standard size guy, 5'10", like 170. You know, these guys are like 9 foot tall. Like, they just walk out and you're like, these guys are monsters. God damn.
Right.
So they're walking out. And then, oddly enough, I don't know what it is, but the thing with DIY is they came out and immediately you just wanted to root for them. Like, they have this perpetual underdog-ness about them. Like they come out and they're happy to be there.
Look at the size of them, like, coming out, right?
Oh yeah, and so they come out with their shirts, and they have the belts, so they're not the underdog by any means. But whenever you're going up against these massive monsters, I guess you are. So their match, fantastic, and I was kind of worried, and we kind of talked about this, to where Authors of Pain were super green, right? Like. They're really new to the whole game. They're young guys. They're like 22 and 23 years old, which is also terrifying to think about. like, what do they eat that they're 22 and like 7 foot one? And it's like, God damn. So they were really green, but it just is a testament to how good DIY is that I will say that the crowd. Near the end of that. So the first half was kind of, you know, this test of strength stuff. Then I think what really turned the corner is Johnny Gargano did German suplexes to both guys. Like,
wow.
Yeah, like full on grabbing them, lifting them, deadlifting them off the ground, German suplexes. And the place went bonkers. Like, people jumping up in the aisles and like just ridiculous. And because that is one of those things that you only see at the carnival. You know what I mean? Like this test of strength shit. And you're like, oh my God. And then from then on out, that match was fire. Like everything they did, the crowd was just rowdy. And then they did a spot to where they did kind of a repeat of that two out of three falls versus the revival, where Johnny Gargano gets one of the guys in like kind of a neck bar, like a I can't remember the exact move, but like a face, not an STF, but a
kind of like a bank statement or something.
Yeah, like a Fez hold. And so one guy is about to start tapping, and then Tommaso Ciampa does the rolling arm bar to the other guy and like locks his arm in, and then they try, they're about to tap, but then they grab each other's hands to not tap. And then they're like, so during that whole bit, we're all electric, just like freaking out, like tap.
They got you.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. We're all in it. We're out of our seats. Like I was even like clapping my hands together, like tap, you fucks, like all the whole thing. I'm like tap. And then ridiculous Razor or whatever his name is, because they're named like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle characters, I guess. Like Arkham and Razor or something. Just ridiculous. One of the guys picks up Johnny Gargano, like out of the hold. So Tommaso Ciampa is doing almost like a cattle mutilation move to where, you know, he's doing a back bridge, but he has the guy's arm wrapped over his back and all this other stuff. So, oh my God, the guy from Authors of Pain picks up Johnny Gargano and power bombs him onto Tommaso Ciampa's stomach.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And then everyone, like, we all did this thing. Like, we just saw a fist fight break out or something. Like, we all, like, settled down and were like, oh. Everyone was in it, like, tap. Then we see this big ass dude pick up a guy and powerbomb him onto another guy. And you're like, oh, God. And then everyone starts the holy shit chant. And we're, like, looking around at each other, like, that is ridiculous. And, and then they do the thing. So Authors of Pain end up winning, but it totally makes sense because who's going to beat those guys, right? So that was a great match. After that match was after that match, they're walking to the back. The lights are kind of cut off and everything. And then the lights didn't come back on for a little bit. And like there was no music playing or anything. So I was kind of looking around and I was like, this is weird. Why aren't they doing a video package, or why aren't they, you know, setting up the ring for something? What's going on?
Yeah.
And then we see someone get in the ring, but they have their face covered. Like they have a kind of a hoodie on, and then they grab the mic and you hear Triple H. Your ass is back there. And then we're like, what the hell's going on? And the light comes up and it's Seth Rollins. And I hope this energy comes across on the broadcast, because no one knew what was going on. There was no music. There was no anything. And then everyone all at the same time had the, oh shit, that's Seth Rollins moment. And it really was. And I like grabbed Brittany by the arm and I was like, babe, it's Seth. And like people around us start standing up like, oh God. Oh. And so as he starts talking shit, we all start like chanting. And it was one of those weird moments that they couldn't have planned it better, because no one really knew what was going on until he was mid promo calling out Triple H. And then the place just kept going bonkers, and Triple H comes out, brings his bodyguards. We all boo because it's like, oh, you chicken shit, you know, like that perfect heel move, right? Perfect heel move.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know if this was shown on it, but okay, so the three guys get in the ring, the three bodyguards or whatever, security guards. Seth Rollins fights him, beats him up.
Yeah,
then Seth sprints out of the ring, and there's this smaller bodyguard that's running towards Seth Rollins, and Seth like almost spears him, but like linebacker shoulder blocks.
He takes a hit, but he stops him.
So like shoulder blocks this kid and drops him. It like drops him in a way that, like, imagine if you and I were looking at each other and you ran and form tackled me, like that type of thing. And I burst out laughing. Everyone else went, ooh, but I saw a great thing of this guy's head bobbing up and down on the deal. And then Seth just fucking spears his ass. And then the guy like crumbles. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. And then he gets up and he gets dragged away and stuff. But yeah, it was a great moment because no one knew what the hell was going on. And then the next match was the Fatal 4-Way women's match. And I'm going to say that. So Asuka didn't do a lot during the match. She was kind of like taken out the side of the match early and like laid there. And it was funny because one guy behind me was like, did Asuka die? Like after like 3 or 4 minutes of her not moving, it's like, did they just kill Asuka? Like what happened? But it made for a really good bump where Nikki Cross went through a table because Billie Kay and Peyton Royce did like a shield powerbomb to her. And the table itself, I don't know how it sounded on TV, but it sounded like a stunt mat. Like from the acoustics from where we are out, it made this really hollow, like ba-boom noise.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh. And then Nikki Cross didn't move for 10 more minutes. She just laid there the entire time. So she was out of the match.
She was good.
Yeah, she was done. She got her paycheck. So the spot of that match, Asuka did this amazing roundhouse kick. But the best spot of the match is she did a double German suplex. So, it was one of those centipede German suplexes where, like, she was going to first get Billie Kay, and then Peyton Royce hits Asuka in the back, and then Asuka does, a flip back reversal, like, sort of that spinning, like, I'm going to get behind you, kind of like a standing mount, I guess, and then gets both of them. Pushes them against the ropes and then double German suplex. And it looks beautiful. Like we had a perfect profile shot of it because she did it right to the hard camera. And that's exactly where we were. So we got to see it, like all the velocity and stuff of it. And it was beautiful. And that got a standing ovation. We were all like, bravo, ma'am. That was really impressive. That looked great. So that matches. So Asuka ended up winning. We were both wrong about that, but I was kind of happy about it. I was like, okay. So we didn't quite get the Nikki Cross versus Asuka moments. We got a few of them, but not nearly enough. So that could still be a match later down the line. But then it was main event time, man. And holy God, that crowd, you could tell that's why everyone was there.
They were ready for the next Shinsuke entrance.
Yes. Yeah, we were.
How are they going to top?
And so the lights,
the one in what was it?
Oh,
was it when they did the actual live violin?
The violin. So it wasn't that good, but it was super memorable because, and I think partly because we were there. And I'll explain why whenever we get to it, because it hurt my eyes. Like my eyes hurt afterwards. Everyone was like blinking a lot, you know. But so whenever it was first starting. Do what?
Did you sing along?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We even did for both of them, really. Like,
I would sing along.
So it was amazing to sing along to both. So it showed the video package, right? And as the video package was playing, because that's, I guess, what people on the network were seeing. So we were seeing it at the same time they were, because it was all synced up. So they could still hear our crowd roars during our responses to the video package. And. Okay. As that was happening, we saw a group of probably about 11 or 12 women like get by the ramp, and like they had these beautiful purple dresses on. Like they looked like disco balls. It was ridiculous. They were probably all like Spurs cheerleaders or something, you know. Big haircuts, all that type of thing. So I'm like, "Oh, here are the singers for the Glorious song." Right. These has to be the singers. But they weren't. So Bobby Roode comes out decked out in the most Ric Flair looking jacket I've ever seen him wear. It was rad. So he comes out and then he puts his arm around two of the women and then they get in like this line around him and he walks to the ring with 12 women. And I was like, what a badass. Like, this is amazing. What a hard ass. And So he looks like a million bucks. And like the crowd was going nuts for him, even though he's quote unquote the bad guy. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're in Texas, you're in like beer money country, right? So, yeah. So people were like, where's James Storm and all that shit. But like people just respected Bobby Roode. They were like, okay, this guy's got it. And so he comes to the ring and he's just that pompous asshole, but it worked so well for him. And so we're all going crazy and singing Glorious and all this other stuff. And he gets in the ring and then the lights go dark for Shinsuke.
Mm.
You would have thought meteors were hitting the side of the arena because of how many women started screaming like Japanese style, like Shinsuke, like crazy out of their mind. Like my fiance was, everybody going nuts. And so basically they put Shinsuke on this like cart, almost like this wheeling cart, but the cart itself had five massive industrial strength strobe lights. So he's on this cart being wheeled to the front and the strobe lights are going off during a song and we're all singing along. The strobe lights, I can't explain how intense they were. You couldn't shut your eyes to avoid it. Like, the entire arena was like sunlight and then pitch black and then sunlight and then pitch black, like boom, boom, boom for like a minute and a half. And you're like, this is freaking intense. Yeah. My eyes, I was like, oh my God. Like I can barely, how can he even function after being on that cart that does that?
Right.
He's right next to it. Like how in the world? But then, you know, once the lights like settled up and all the red lights came out around the crowd, and he did his Shinsuke entrance, you know, with the hands and went over to the crowd and all that stuff. And like, yeah, that place was beside themselves. So the match starts and it starts off really, really, really slow. And I mean like slow enough that the crowd started chanting, "This is boring." And I was mad because they were chanting that. I was like, no, you fucks. Yeah. Like they have to build up. They're going to wrestle for 45 minutes. Like,
yeah,
they have to build up. They can't just start doing their greatest hits.
Yeah.
So, you know, the crowd started chanting that. And I was like, no, I don't agree with that. They need to build. They need to do the slow build. But what Bobby Roode did was he wrestled an anti Shinsuke style to where he didn't go after the heavy hitting fast offense. He slowed it way down. So Shinsuke could never get momentum. And it worked in his favor. It was genius. There was one spot, and you probably saw it online. There was a lot of memes about it, where Shinsuke had like kicked Bobby Roode in the face, and then Bobby like fell face first and laid in the ring, and he didn't move for 45 seconds. So Shinsuke's getting ready to do the Kinshasa, you know, and he's getting ready for the Bomaye, and he's like looking, and he's kind of doing his flinching stuff, and he's looking. And then nothing happens, so he just stops. And he like stares at Bobby Roode. And Bobby Roode still hasn't moved a muscle. And then we all started laughing because it was like this weird comical, like, oh, Bobby Roode's dead. Like, he just laid there in the middle of the ring. But then as soon as Shinsuke walked up, then Bobby Roode took out his ankle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of mind game type stuff. I will say I was very happy because I got to see every single Shinsuke move that Shinsuke's ever done. And so we got to see the top rope Bomaye. We got to see the running Bomaye. We got to see the kneeling Bomaye. We got to see the rolling arm bar. We got to see the that face brush thing that he did to Ibushi at Wrestle Kingdom 9 to the outside where he like just put his boot across his face and he just like grinded it out. He took a nasty spill to the outside. He was up on the top rope getting ready to do the Kinshasa, and Bobby Roode like grabbed him by the like sternum, I guess, or like put his like palmed his chest and pushed him backwards, and Shinsuke backflips out of the ring and like lands on his knees, I guess, on the outside, man. Like a nasty bump, and everybody starts freaking out then, like, oh God, is Shinsuke hurt? Then Shinsuke comes back up, and you know, and then what the whole bit was is Shinsuke hits a Kinshasa from like a weird angle and then starts grabbing his knee.
Yeah.
So I could tell immediately it was a work. Like, this is just a storyline. But it kept going. And like, then they brought out officials, and then they brought out the doctors, and then they brought out freaking Albert. What's his name? Like,
Matt Bloom.
Lord Tensai. So Matt Bloom comes running out. I'm like, this killed a lot of the momentum. So then they're telling Shinsuke, oh, you can't wrestle. Yeah, you're too hurt. And he's like, no, but I want to fight. They do that whole bit.
Yeah.
So Bobby Roode goes, he grabs Shinsuke and does, I can't even remember his finisher's name. Does his finisher.
Glorious DDT.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so that kind of upright, you know, you posture the guy up and then you face plant him.
Like, it's like a lifting DDT.
Yeah, exactly. The floating or whatever they call it.
So
he does that. Then Shinsuke kicks out. The doctors rush back over, try to protect him. Shinsuke stands back up. Bobby Roode hits it again, pins him, and wins. And Bobby Roode was actually overcome with genuine emotion after he won the belt. And, you know, he got a standing ovation because, I mean, yeah, he was the bad guy, but it was still watching Bobby Roode wrestle. So yeah. Awesome. Right. So cool. So then Bobby Roode leaves. And then it takes a little bit for Shinsuke to leave, like, because all the doctors are around him and all that stuff. And then as they're willing him out, you know, everyone's like, thank you, Shinsuke. And we're like doing all that. But I'm still trying to figure out or decide, is he going to come back to NXT to challenge Bobby Roode in like a month or two? Or was this his last NXT match and he's getting called up the same way like Samoa Joe is? I don't know. I
don't think so.
Yeah, I think he's still got NXT left in him. But overall, I mean, the show was remarkable. And I'm super glad I got to see Shinsuke live. And yeah, he did all of the stuff I wanted him. He did a perfect rolling armbar. Like, that's the one move, even with the Beaumoyers and all that stuff, I wanted to see him do that rolling armbar. Because I was like, that might be the most beautiful wrestling move I've seen in my entire life. Like, when I saw it on Wrestle Kingdom 9, when he did it to Kota Ibushi, it's textbook perfect. And he hit a pretty textbook perfect one. And I got to see it with my own eyes in the flesh. And I was like, oh, that's beautiful. Like, I really did. Whenever he did it, I stood up in my chair and I clapped. And everyone started laughing around me. And I was like, that's just perfection. Like, you can't. Yeah. No one else can do that in the entire industry. Like, he's the best at it. So,
yeah,
I got to give him props for that move. But, yeah. And but coming away, you know, in the parking lot, Brittany and I did, like, a 15-minute long Periscope session.
Your first one, man.
Yeah, very first one ever. So did that. We were waiting to get out of the parking lot. You know, 12,000 people in a parking lot makes kind of chaotic. We probably sat there for 45 minutes. So about 15 of those, we did a Periscope. But overall, I mean, even looking back at it now, and I know whenever I left, I was so blown away with Roderick Strong. I was just like, I knew he was good. But like those two, man, by far my match of the night. And like, I was glad, like I was super happy to see Shinsuke. I love seeing Bobby Roode. DIY killed it. But like, what made that trip was that Roderick Strong and Andrade match. I mean, the best live sports thing I've ever seen was that like 10-minute match. Just off the charts good. Like, I want to watch it again on the network just to see it from angles I didn't get to see it before. But yeah, it was one of those that it was like we were watching a UFC, like a prize fight or something. Like, that's the type of energy that the crowd had. They were like, get him. No, wrap the leg. Like, they were yelling technical wrestling shit because these guys were putting an indie wrestling match. And it was baller, man. So good. But the whole that's event good, was man. So much fun. And that follows up into the Royal Rumble. Which we did not go to, and I'm kind of glad because, you know, the attendance for NXT was 12,000, like 11,700, something like that. So the freaking crowd for NXT was 52,000. I was like,
oh, like Royal Rumble?
The Rumble was 52,000. And I'm like, that's too many people. I don't want to be around that many fucking people. Like, the 12,000 felt like family. We're all in it together. Yeah. 52,000, that's like a city. Like, no, I don't want to be around a city watching wrestling. This is
silly. I feel like they're making their big events as like their WrestleManias, like, you know, throughout the year. Like your Survivor Series, your Royal Rumble, your SummerSlam, they're all trying to be like the, you know, the WrestleMania size
which is,
and it makes sense because those are like the, you know, the main ones, right?
Yeah, those are the main ones. But also, I want to say it might take away from the luster of WrestleMania a little bit.
I don't even think so.
Really? Okay.
That would be a bigger crowd. That'll be double Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, 100 grand. Yeah. I know last year the actual attendance was like 92,000, but they claimed it as 101,000 or something.
Yeah.
But still 90,000 people, man.
Yeah, man.
Redonk. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Rumble, I started watching it because we had to do like laundry and we went shopping and all this stuff. So we got back a little late. And then WWE Network was screwing up. So I started really watching it whenever the Kevin Owens Roman Reigns match.
Okay.
And like Chris Jericho suspended above the ring in a freaking shark cage or whatever. Just ridiculous.
I think that's the first time I've seen a match where like it was somebody suspended on a certain shark cage. Not even so much of like Judy Bagwell
on the forklift.
Yeah.
Because I think they did it at one of the NXT takeovers with Paul Ellering. They like put him up there. Yeah, with the Authors of Pain versus TM61, I think. I always want to still call him the Mighty Don't Kneel, but I don't know what TM61 stands for. Yeah, but yeah, so it was those two, and yeah, Paul Ellering was in that little thing, and then I was like, why the hell is he in that? And then right after that, it showed a commercial for the toys, like, oh, WWE toys, look at the new shark cage, and I was like, oh, there it is.
They're actually doing it with the toys.
That's right. So yeah, so now they put Jericho in that thing so he couldn't interfere, even though he still did by throwing down brass knuckles to Kevin Owens. It's ridiculous, man. Those two make me laugh so much. And like the match overall was good. I cannot stand how they're booking Roman Reigns. It's the same stuff we used to complain about with Cena, but now Cena is on fire. Like Cena hasn't had a bad match in 5 years. You know what I mean? Like Cena's just on a level now, kind of by himself. But Roman Reigns, I swear on my life, they are doing everything wrong with that poor guy. He has talent, he has the charisma, he has the look, and he's being booked in the worst way possible. Like, Kevin Owens did 3 Superman punches with brass knuckles, and Roman Reigns still kicked out. And you're like, get the fuck out of here. He went through chairs, he went through all kinds of stuff, and he still got up. I'm like, man, you're telling me, and basically what I was telling Brittany was like, listen, if Roman Reigns' finisher can't finish Roman Reigns with brass knuckles and doing it 3 times, it's a shitty finish.
Yeah.
So it's not that you just showed me Roman Reigns is strong. You showed me that his move is bullshit. You know what I mean? That's how I took it. I was like, now we know the Superman punch sucks. So his entire finish is no longer protected. Now it's considered garbage because it can't even win a match 3 times with brass knuckles. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just undercut yourself. So it's stuff like that that blows me away. I'm like, why would you shit and sandbag all over Roman Reigns when you're trying to build him up to be Superman? And then why is he kicking out of brass knuckle shit? If you clocked me with brass knuckles, I'd be gone for a month. Like, you know what I mean? It's because the fakest thing in wrestling is a closed fist punch. Because the moment, so basically the moment either one of us gets punched in the face, guess what? Now we're in a fight. Like, you go from none of this kayfabe stuff. If someone comes up and punches you in the face, you are going to be in a knockdown, drag-out fist fight.
Yeah.
So anytime that happens in wrestling, and they're doing a closed fist punch, and it doesn't end with both guys, like, raking each other's eyeballs out, it's fake. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the one move that makes all... Because everybody's been hit in the face, like, maybe not by a fist, But like, you've been hit in the face by a skateboard, or like, you know, just people know what it's like to get hit in the face. So the moment you get hit with brass knuckles three times in the face, with brass knuckles, and you still get up and you're still doing your poses and shit, like, ugh, it's just gross. It's like, what is this? But then of course Braun Strowman comes in, gets a huge crowd reaction, hits Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens retains, like, that's the way it should have ended.
And then starts that feud.
Yeah. But then, and then we'll get to this during the Royal Rumble, that's probably not even going to be a feud. So
you don't think?
I don't think so. No, maybe it might fill time for a lot.
I don't think it'll lead up to WrestleMania. I think it'll be like in the back burner once like the Raw after starts.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be the Raw after, because I think WrestleMania is going to be Roman Reigns versus Taker.
Okay.
Because that's kind of what happened at the Royal Rumble. Like, it kind of happened during the match. Okay, so there were some other matches. I actually can't remember the rest of the card. I could probably look it up. But, like, I know the pre-show, Good Brothers, they won the tag belts.
Yep. Yeah. Gallows and Anderson, they won over Sheamus and Cesaro. Yeah.
But overall, we can get into the Rumble. The Rumble itself, for the first 85% of it, was amazing. It was actually my favorite Rumble I've ever seen. Because of the pacing. The very first person out there was Big Cass. The second person out there was Chris Jericho. And then from there, it just started snowballing. So then, you know, you get Braun Strowman out. And then the next person to come out is Sami Zayn. And you're like, oh, great. These two have had a rivalry thing. Then, you know, this is a perfect buildup. And then they go in and Sami tries to fight him off and Braun tries to fight him off. And so they have their own little moment. And then the next person to come out is James Ellsworth. And he comes down and he sees Braun Strowman and he's like, I don't want to go in there. I'm not going to go in there. That guy's killed me. I'm not going to go in there. And then the next guy that comes out is Dean Ambrose. So then Dean goes up to, you know, James Ellsworth and he pats him on the, he's like, no man, we're going to go in there together. We're going to get Braun Strowman. We can do this. So he's hyping him up. And then you see James getting all like, yeah, man, we're going to do it. We're going to go in there. And then Dean's like, great. We're going to go in on the count of three. One, two, three. And then Sykes said he's going to go in. And then James Ellsworth goes in and gets mowed over. Completely with a huge clothesline, and the whole crowd bursts out laughing. Dean Ambrose doesn't even go in the ring yet. You know, so it's that type of stuff. So they really did well building up these moments of like comedy or like drama. And then, you know, Brock Lesnar comes in there and suplexes every single person in the ring. Then after that, the next person out is Goldberg. Goldberg goes in and eliminates Brock Lesnar in about 10 seconds. And then you see this look on Brock Lesnar's face like, you son of a bitch, you know, but that's a perfect, it's a perfect build for their WrestleMania match. Perfect.
Yeah.
Like, Goldberg's the guy that has Brock Lesnar's number.
You mean to tell me Brock Lesnar can't beat Goldberg? Like, that's the guy? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, perfect build, right? Like, here's the guy, he beat me at the one WrestleMania, and he's beaten me the other two times I've faced him. Like, I'm going to get you at WrestleMania. Like, it's a perfect story. And then after that, Taker comes out, and throughout this whole deal is I had your pick in the back of my mind with Kofi. Kofi came out looking strong too. And I was like, oh man, Marco might be onto something. And then the rest of New Day comes out and they do real well. And I can't remember. It may have been Goldberg, or it may have been Lesnar that eliminated all three of the New Day all at the same time. And it's like, ah, dang. But at least they went out like bosses. Like, they went out real well. No, man, Kofi looked great. Kofi was getting good shots on. He eliminated a few people. Like, just solid work. And
I heard Baron Corbin did great. And then
Baron looked real good.
Yeah, and then what else? I mean, Ty, I think, came and went, right?
Yep. Just he got in. He was in there for a good, like, 6 or 7 minutes.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, he was in there. He was double teaming Braun Strowman with Sami Zane, those two were going after him and kind of wearing him down a little bit. But then I want to say Baron Corbin actually eliminated Ty, which is a great way to build.
It was Braun.
Braun got
like heat from the crowd.
That's right. Oh yeah, that's right. So did that and got really good heat from him. So yeah, I mean, overall, you know, but Ty made a decent showing, but the crowd went crazy for him coming in at number 10. And then Taker comes out and Taker starts clearing house. And I'm like, oh man, this could happen.
This could happen, man.
Like, holy shit, I could be right about a Rumble pick. Like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. So, and he was number 29, I think, that came out. And number 30. Oh, number 30. So here we're like, it's Samoa Joe. We're like, this is the perfect time for him to come out. And it was a Samoan, all right. And it was a guy named Joe. It was fucking Roman Reigns. Oh my God. So he limps out to the ring. Ugh, I can barely stand up. Ugh.
Yeah.
Eliminates like 13 people. You're like, all right, great. Thanks. Thanks for fucking playing. Like, so he comes out and then he eliminated Taker and I was pissed. I was like, you mean to tell me not only do we not get fucking Samoa Joe, but Roman Reigns eliminated Taker, and Taker was having a run too. Oh, you would have thought that crowd was going molten because they were pissed that he eliminated Taker. Oh God, they were so angry. And it ended up being the last two in the ring. So the last three in the ring, it was Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, and Bray Wyatt. And I was like, please be Bray. Please have Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, at least like when I was following the Facebook post, it was those three. I was like, you know what? This could be Bray's time.
And I'm
okay with that.
He should main event a WrestleMania. But no question, they kind of made him float around and the whole Wyatt family stuff. Now it's getting a little more intriguing because of Randy Orton and all this. But like, sincerely, Bray Wyatt needed that. Like, I think that would have cemented him. It would have sealed the deal. He was already great. He has a great entrance. But like, he needs that moment to at least do a WrestleMania main event. I think he earned it. He deserves it. But then in the back of my mind, I was like, Roman's going to eliminate both these fuckers, isn't he? And he's going to main event. They learned nothing from last year. They do the same mistake just to spite people. Like, I know it's WWE and they're fickle and they're just wanting to rub it in everybody's faces that they know what people wanted as the Undertaker to win. But no, fuck you, Roman Reigns is better, so he's going to eliminate him. Like, I could smell it a mile away. But yeah, they get those three are in there. And I was like, okay, maybe Bray and Randy. I was really expecting Randy to eliminate Roman and then do the turn on Bray and use this as kind of the big catalyst of, haha, I got you and you all fell for it, but I wanted to win the Rumble. And like, great, establish him as a heel. You know what I mean? Do that. Because I think heel Randy Orton works really well. Face Randy Orton never made sense to me. Ever. Like, hey guys, I'm chilling out. I'm a good guy. Like, he never had a character. So, but with a heel Randy Orton, like the Legend Killer, great. You know what I mean? Like, he had these great gimmicks as a heel. But as a face, he just kind of showed up as Randy Orton. And you're like, oh, well, great. Glad you could make it. But so then he eliminates Roman and then ends up winning the thing. So Roman gets Bray, the crowd boos, but as he's getting Bray, Randy Orton comes up from behind him, clotheslines him in the back, flips him over, all that stuff. And then what was weird to me is the crowd went crazy. Oh, Randy Orton won. Yeah, that means. Oh, and we'll go back and talk about the John Cena versus AJ match.
They put two and two together. And
that was the match. Yeah. Oh, boy. So the match we've never seen before. fucking John Cena versus Randy Orton.
Randy Orton.
Or as otherwise known, WWE from 2006 until 2013. Like, that's all that company was for like 7 years. They've had more matches together than anybody ever. Like, I saw that match at a house show. That's how much it happens. Is it like, and it was boring. It was boring as shit at the house show. Like, it was, this is, a, but then apparently the big dirt sheet thing is. Oh, go ahead.
What was that? Oh, so I was like, at this point, I'm fine with it. Because, I mean, yeah, we've seen it so many times. And yeah, we had a break from it. But like, dude, like we were saying earlier, like Cena has been having great matches, right?
Oh, for sure.
And Orton is doing his thing too. Like he can have good matches. So like, whatever stipulations, or even if it's just a one-on-one, it's going to be like a solid match.
Yeah, it'll be
if
solid.
If anything, it'll be a solid match. I'm pretty sure people are, yeah. As people have been saying already, people are already tired of it. I mean, that's how rivalries were, you know, like, how many times did Stone Cold and Rock go at it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How many times did Rock and Triple H go at it? You know, it's pretty much the same thing. I feel like it's pretty much the same thing.
That's true. I mean, and that's fair. I just
I don't care as much as people seem to care about it, but like,
yeah, I just
fine.
Well,
it's gonna be solid.
Yeah, the big dirt sheet rumor is that Bray is gonna beat John Cena at Elimination Chamber anyway. So then the main event will be Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. Which that could be interesting. So let's hope. you know what I mean? Just something new. Just give us something new. And
I totally get it.
And you know, one of my other biggest fears is that The Miz would have won. Because I was like, The Miz's WrestleMania was the worst thing I've ever seen. he's way better now. He's way better now. Mm-hmm. I still can't stand that guy. Like, he's great at what he does. I love his stuff on Talking Smack. I think he's gotten worlds better. He's a tough son of a gun because, like, AJ knocked his freaking teeth out and he still wrestled. You know what I mean? But another Miz main event WrestleMania would be just. So I'm glad that didn't happen. But match of the night on the Rumble. AJ versus freaking John Cena for the belt.
Yeah.
God, that was good. I don't know what it is. You know, people on, you know, JBL will call him Big Match John and all that stuff. But like John Cena during big pay-per-view matches becomes a man possessed. And I don't know how, like, I don't know where it comes from. I really don't. And I mean, he's been doing this since like the CM Punk Money in the Bank thing. You know, one of my top five matches ever. Like, ever since then, he's been on a tear. He's given the best matches to the biggest names, like freaking CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Sami Zayn. You look at these top tier at Cesaro, like John Cena brings out the best in everyone he goes against. And it's awesome. John Cena has finally found his niche, and it's making everyone else look good because he can, because he's John Cena. I mean, he's still a big deal. He still sells the most merch out of anybody, but
it's like forget that, you know, forget the fact that he's only going to be doing five moves. Like, and we've talked about it this before, like you do this 300 plus days out of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I'm fine with five moves. I don't want to be doing like super crazy stuff every single day.
Yeah.
You know, and it can be inconsistent, but when you have five moves, you can do it 300 plus days out of the year. And then it's fine. People may get tired of it, but like, dude, again, these guys are doing it 300 plus days out of the year.
Absolutely.
Like the holidays. So like, you know, it's a give and take. And like, Cena just does great matches. And, that's all I want. Like at this point, that's all I want out of my wrestling. I just want to see great matches. I don't care if like you do like some sort of new move. Like just have a great solid match.
Just tell a good story and that's what John Cena is so good at, is the pacing. He understands where the crowd is as far as like, where's their energy and what would happen next to make them pop or what would happen next to make them boo. Like, he has the best understanding of that, I think, out of anybody in that company.
Yeah.
And because he can work a great match with anybody that way. And it doesn't have to be technical marvels or all these showcases and stuff. But if it is, he can adapt to it. Like, they did this cool spot for quite a few minutes where it was just submission and then counter into another submission and then counter into another submission. Like, it was almost like chain wrestling, but for like, oh, he went from a Boston Crab to a, you know, and they kept going over and over, like arm locks and arm bars and then a triangle choke and then a this and then a that. And like, it was smooth, it was solid, and it's some of the best stuff I've seen from AJ. And yeah, freaking John Cena hit a beautiful code red. He does that move a lot lately, on big match pay-per-views, but he does it great. Oh, and there were a few of the Styles Clash that I literally held my breath, because John Cena's head, he's a bulky guy, right? So yeah, Cena's head,
he's big and bulky,
was grazing the ground.
Already grazing the ground, yeah.
Oh, so then he was going first, and at the last second, he would turn his head so he would land on his cheek, you know? Because if he didn't, it would be a Yoshitatsu thing, man. Like, he'd break his freaking neck.
You don't tuck your cheek, tuck your chin.
Yeah, you don't tuck your chin. So at the very end, like, he would slightly tuck it, but then he would turn his head at the last second. You're like, oh my God, John, you're going to give me a heart attack. Like, duh, shit. Yeah. But it added this tension to the match, and they did some great spots to where AJ was going to do his mid-rope 450 splash, but then as he was jumping off of it, John caught him and did the...
That's great.
Yeah, the F5, and then grabbed him and went for a pin, but instead of pinning him, he rolled back into it, deadlifted him back up and did another F5, like, or attitude adjustment or whatever it is. Yeah, so amazing. Like, there was some stuff in there that, like, the crowd's jaw was, like, on the floor. They were like, whoa. But John Cena has those all the time now. He has those type of big, solid matches. He is big match John. I mean, the only person I know that comes out to play more during pay-per-view lately over the past year is like either Kenny Omega or Okada. And I put John Cena on that same level as like showing up for pay-per-views to like wow the crowd. That's where he's at. Like, he's on that level that few can touch. People boo John Cena and, oh, John Cena sucks or whatever. I'm a big Cena fan now. Like, I have been since that Money in the Bank match. I'm like, God, this guy's got it, man. Like, but now I completely understand why people would boo Cena, because all that shit is why I'm so mad at Roman Reigns. Because he's handed everything. Like, I get it. I get why people are upset. Who knows, in 5 years, once Roman Reigns gets some more memorable stuff under his belt, maybe I'll feel the same way I do about Cena. I hope so. But right now they're just booking him. I think they're just booking him to fuck with the audience.
I think so too.
And I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to Roman. I don't think it's fair to the crowd. I don't think it's fair to the company. Because
I think it's funny.
Well, it is kind of funny. It's funny in the Vince McMahon, you don't like what you like, you like what I say you like way.
The Nintendo way?
Yeah, exactly. Basically the Nintendo. That's what Roman Reigns is, the Nintendo Switch, basically, is what we're saying right now. Everything that's a dumb mistake they made in one person, and now they're just riding with it anyway, because fuck you, that's why.
Yeah.
But that's the deal. It's like, I actually genuinely feel bad for Roman, because it's not his fault that they're booking him in a ridiculous manner. I firmly believe this. Make him the new Kevin Nash. Just make Roman Reigns the new Kevin Nash. It's not that hard.
The cool heel.
Yeah. Make him come out there and be like, oh yeah, you guys wish you were as cool as me. Like, and like, he could say something, he could do a slightly shoot sort of thing, looking at the camera. Oh yeah, you guys boo me because you know I'm way better than you'll ever be. Like, just let them play around with it a little bit. Let them, you know, don't write suffer and succotash for him. I still can't believe they made him say that. It was like, that's Sylvester the Cat. Like, that's shit from 1955 Looney Tunes episodes. Like, they are so far out of whack with his writing. And it's like, just let him be the cool Big Daddy Cool Diesel running out there. Hell, give him the fucking jackhammer powerbomb. Like, I don't care. Make him Kevin Nash. Like, I do not care. I think that would be great. Make him too cool for school. Make him, hell, make him run a faction that everyone wants to join. Have him be like a new, not NWO, but something like that. To where he just comes out and he's like, you know what? You guys hate us, but suck it, man. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
I think it'd be awesome.
He I've heard that he kind of did that when during the days of FCW.
Yeah.
When he was, I think he was, his quote was, I'm the LeBron James of wrestling. Like, that high ego type of thing. Yeah. I like rock, like the Rock and Ballers type of thing, like an agent.
Yeah.
Like wearing suits and just like the rich, that rich ego thing. Yeah. So I would definitely like to see that with Roman Reigns. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
They just gave them the leftover Shield music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they were so lazy when they did the Roman Reigns thing. They're like, the kids like that Shield music, and let's have him keep the vest on. But let's have him go out and win, and he can take three brass knuckle shots to the fucking face. Like, who's booking this guy? And, like, give him a personality, because he's not allowed to have one right now. And so he's walking out there. He's a god amongst men. And they're booking it that way, but they're booking it that way just to be hateful. And I'm like, you have an absolute talent with Roman Reigns. That guy is, if you listen to his stuff, like the Wizard World, the Comic-Con panel discussion type things. He's hilarious. He has some amazing, like, comebacks. Like, he's super quick-witted. Like, he's a good interview. That guy, out of all the guys that I would like want to interview on the roster, Roman Reigns is probably up there, because he's not taken off guard very easy. Like, and he doesn't have the canned response, oh, WWE wants me to say this thing. Like, he doesn't have a lot of that. He's just shooting from the hip. And like, I'm like, please give us this Roman Reigns. Like, don't write anything for him. Just tell him, hey, you need to talk shit on Kevin Owens and have him go out there. Give him a live mic. Who cares? If he's that over anyway, and if he's going to be the guy, he could afford to make 8 million mistakes, and he's still going to be the guy. So let him go out there. Let him fail. Let him learn. Let him kind of have fun with it. Don't put so much pressure on him to be the next John Cena. Like, just let him do his thing. And then naturally, he will evolve into, like, the juggernaut they want him to be. They're just not booking him right, man. They're just writing shitty things for him, and then they're giving him terrible feuds. Like, he was the good guy in the Rusev feud. You know what Rusev's entire backstory was? I love my family and I love my wife.
Yeah.
Yet he was the bad guy? Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
It's that stuff. And I'm like, what are they doing? They need to, like, erase this chalkboard and just start over. Like, just shake up that Etch-a-Sketch. Whatever you had planned, fucking dump it. Keep them off TV for 2 weeks, and then hit the reset button, and then have them come out, have them be a smarmy heel, but he's such a good heel that you love to hate him. Yeah, man, I just cannot get the whole Kevin Nash thing picture out of my head. Like, I think Roman Reigns would be perfect at it. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the build. He's got the look. Like, maybe are they afraid that they've done it before, so it won't work? But then if that's the case, why are they booking him to be John Cena? You know, the whole Roman Reigns enigma thing just, I'm flabbergasted by it, because I was like, all of those other guys in the company, like, Chris Jericho's reinvented himself 35 times and done it well 35 times. And the whole bit with him and Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens is the most lovable heel in all of wrestling right now. Like, people love how much of a dick he is. And that's what Roman Reigns needs. He needs to be just so damn cool. Like, it's the whole, like, Stone Cold did some shit, man. He gave Stone Cold stunners to women. Like, he did some just vile shit, but everyone cheered it.
Yeah.
Because it was just, you loved him. You're like, oh my God, that guy. And like, whenever The Rock was a heel, he would say the funniest shit in the world. So you're like, okay, I know he's the bad guy, yeah, but that guy's awesome. Like, all right, I'm going to cheer for The Rock. Like, they need to give that type of personality to Roman Reigns. They need to.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel bad because I think it's going to crash and burn, and that Roman's just going to be this perpetual mid-carder that could have been pushed to be the main eventer, but no one really buys it. And like, he's going to be in purgatory, and he deserves better than that. Like, I do think that he has something special. I do see his matches, and I'm like, okay, he can tell stories. He has good facial animation. You know, he can tell stories with his eyes. He has a good personality. Like, but what they're doing with him is just wrong right now. It's just not working. They need to fix it. But I don't know. But overall, good weekend of wrestling, man. Good weekend. Still blown away. As soon as we got home from the event, I wanted to buy some shirts at NXT, but the lines were outrageous. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll just buy them online. So came home. They did not have a Roderick Strong shirt, which sucked. I was like, I would buy that shit right now. Like, but I got, there's a lot of stuff on sale. So I got two Shinsuke shirts, and it was funny, even on sale, they had some sweatpants, some Shinsuke Nakamura strong style sweatpants.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'll buy that shit. Like, so I got a whole collection of Shinsuke merch coming in the mail.
Nice.
So, yeah, man. I got the vintage shirt, where it just says Shinsuke Nakamura and like gritty text on there, and it says Kyoto Japan under it. Got that one, and then I got the one that it's white and it just says strong style. And then on the Ichiban, you know, number one, like Ichiban, Shinsuke Nakamura. I was like, I'll wear that shit to work on Friday. They'll know what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Overall, just good wrestling. But yeah, if you haven't seen the NXT TakeOver, I highly recommend it. We're going to watch it. Me and the fiance are going to watch it again to see if we can see ourselves, because we're under where the lighting is. So we know exactly what angle we're at, because we know what color light we were next to. So I want to see if there's any proof of us existing there. And if so, I'm going to screen cap it and put it on Twitter. be like, there we are. There's my big bald head.
Right there, yeah. that's next on my list. After Rumble, I'm going to watch NXT.
Dude, it's a blast. And and I'm telling you, man, that Roderick Strong Andrade match, that is where it's at, dude. I was freaking out that whole time, because it started, I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. And then as it kept going, I was like, these guys are murdering each other. Like, it was genuine, man. And that's, I kind of had this simple thing in the back of my mind. I was like, okay, it's the new trend in wrestling now to do like really loud super kicks. Like those super kicks that just like, the Usos do really good ones too. To where like, crack, you hear like, I was like, let me just see a few of those moves. Let me get some of those ooh and ah and like cringeworthy things. I didn't know they were going to do a whole match of it. But yeah, man, it was rad. It was, and the energy at the live events is so much different than whenever you see it on TV. Because you're physically seeing these things happen. Like, imagine if you were walking through the grocery store and like you went down an aisle and some dude got super kicked. Like, you would freak out. You would fucking freak out. That's what it felt like. Even though we know these guys are paid to like beat up each other, you just saw a grown man get kicked in the face. Like, it's, you know, it's just wild. But yeah, by far the best live event I've been to with wrestling and like combat sports
That's
and stuff.
Great.
Like, super good, man. And yeah, super glad. So no matter what the future holds for Shinsuke, I was glad I got to see kind of all the big greatest hits live in person. Dude, that rolling armbar, sick. Like, I still don't know how he does it. I'm like, oh my god. We all freaked out, man. It was so good. But I think that's it for episode 17. Just kind of a wrestle wrap up early in the week.
Yeah.
Recorded that Monday.
Did you watch Raw?
I did not. No. I did know. I did hear.
You know what happened?
I did hear a certain Joey Samoa showed up as Triple H's henchman.
Yeah, man. Audible. You know what? That was an audible right there.
Yeah, that is an audible right there.
There's so much going on Rumble. Like, him appearing would be cool, but it would lessen the effect that, you know, all these guys are here too.
I agree.
And who's going to win? And then they won't let Joe win.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. The only reason they would have let Joe in the Rumble is if he would have won.
Yeah.
Like, that would be the only thing that made sense. So that's why I thought number 30, here he comes, let him come in, clean house, make a statement, and then no fucking Roman Reigns comes in. but I'm glad he's made his debut. I could totally get behind a good Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe feud. Like, oh, you better believe it.
People are already complaining. I was like, why?
Wait,
Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, I was reading comments on it. Like, Joe versus Rollins at WrestleMania. I'm like, dude, that's a good match.
That's a great match.
If that happens, but I'm thinking it's gonna be like Seth versus Triple H.
Yeah, it will be. And then Samoa Joe will probably
Samoa Joe will be somewhere.
Yeah, I hope they don't put him in the freaking Money in the Bank ladder match. They might.
Oh yeah, because they will have one. Right?
Yeah, they always do now. So
yeah,
I hope he gets a singles match. See, you know who else they need to bring up? So WrestleMania needs to be Samoa Joe versus Hideo with Tommy. And I can die a happy man.
That'll be my fucking
match of the year, no matter how good it is. They could just show up and pose, then I'll give it match of the year. It's fine. Totally fine.
Give it like the Gold Dust versus Roddy Piper street fight.
Each
other with the OJ car.
Right. See, what needs to happen? And this is going way back to Hideo Itami's NXT stuff. He needs to come back and cost Kevin Owens the Universal title.
Yeah.
That's who put Hideo Itami out the first time, quote unquote, like the storyline wise was, and then Kevin Owens is like, sucks to be you, Hideo. And like walks past him in the parking lot. Yeah. So that needs to come back and bite him in the ass. And I could get behind the Kevin Owens, Hideo Itami match. Good stuff. Good stuff. But yeah, we're on the road to WrestleMania. We'll probably do these follow-up podcasts after every major pay-per-view. God, a freaking Elimination Chamber's in 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
They're coming too fast.
That's SmackDown, I believe.
Too fast. So what's the over-under that this year they bring back Halloween Havoc?
Dude, I'm thinking they're going to bring back Starrcade.
They already ate Clash of Champions or Night of Champions or whatever.
Yeah. Then there wasn't there like a they were intending to do a Bash at the Beach, but I think that got canceled.
Oh my god. Oh, right? They need to do a sold out
Stampede. Yeah, it's sold out. What was that? Oh yeah, what was the WCW Stampede one?
Yeah. I think it was the they could bring back Super Brawl.
Yeah, Super Brawl. War Games.
Oh my god, War Games. Like 8 Hell in a Cells on top of each other. Why not? Fucking ridiculous. We'll just have Vince Russo to book everything. David Arquette comes and wins the belt. God, there was
Abdullah the Butcher would get electrocuted.
there was some terrible WCW pay per view names.
Man.
War Games. Holy shit. but I think that is our time for episode number what is it? 17? 16?
17? 17. It's 37. I mean, you could say it's like 16 part 2, but yeah, it's episode 17.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, glad we got an early show under our belt. Now we can relax the rest of the week and actually have a week's worth of stuff, a week and a half really, of stuff to talk about. But yeah, thank you, my friend. I know you were tired from Muay Thai, but
dude, I'm gonna knock out.
I'm gonna conk out immediately.
As soon as I lay on that bed, man.
Yeah, man, because it's like after midnight my time. So,
yeah.
We'll get some snoozing done. Get back to work. And yeah, we'll see you all next week here on Brothering Around.